The story of Jesus is the greatest story that has ever been told. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds in wonder receive it. Oh, sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. I heard somebody say, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every line. Tell me the story most perfect, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcome his birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Brother King, we thank you. I tell you, they told the truth, brother. Yeah, you are a show enough singer. Amen. You're going to have to do that again. Praise God. We're so happy that you're here today. And I want to call your attention this morning to the book of Genesis. The chapter is 22. And I'm going to look at verses 12 through 14. Genesis chapter 22, verses 12 through 14. You have that, say amen. Reading the word of God in the house of God for the people of God. And the word says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him. For I now know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and looked and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Using that text, I want to talk from the subject this morning. What are you holding back? What are you holding back? There is great value in the Old Testament scriptures because things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And even though we are New Testament Christians, there is great insight and value in the Old Testament scriptures. Abraham is an outstanding figure in the Bible. Abraham is called by many the father of the faithful. According to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 16, Abraham is also esteemed and revered as the friend of God. According to James chapter 2 and verse number 23, Abraham is revered as an outstanding figure by some of the greatest religious thinkers of our time. So Abraham speaks to us, if you're trying to live by faith, then you have a connection to Abraham. If you are an offspring of Christ, if you are a child of God, then you are the seed of Abraham. And you are an heir according to the promise. So all of us have a connection to Abraham. And in this text today, God really tested Abraham. He gave him a test, an extraordinary test. And somebody said, in life, if you don't learn the lesson, you can't pass the test. So you must learn the lesson in order to pass the test. And I raised the question this morning, does the reading of this scripture today shock our moral and modern sensibilities? Are we shocked by the fact that God, the creator of the world, asked Abraham to offer his son as a burnt offering? But I must say this morning, none of us are in a position to sit in judgment on Almighty God. Because God is right. He cannot be wrong. He's in a class all by himself. But there is something we need to look at. Because all of us have a connection to Abraham. So there are three things I want you to see in this lesson today. The first thing I want you to see is give me your son. Give me your son. The second thing I want you to see is now I know. Since you did not hold back your only son. And point number three is the Lord. I said the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Now, according to our text today, Abraham received a call from heaven. And I submit to you this morning, all of us have received a call from heaven. Sometime that call may come in the form of wisdom. That's a call from heaven. In fact, heaven has called every person living in this world today. Heaven has called you. This call may take place in wisdom. We hear the voice of wisdom crying in the marketplace, saying, I've called, you have refused. I have stretched out my hand, but no man regarded me. You have said it not all of my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. I'm telling you this morning that heaven is calling you. And also heaven is calling us in the gospel. He's calling all of us. There's a call from heaven. He says, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So I'm saying to you, even though you're living in 2013, heaven is calling you. The only question is, will you answer? Will you put heaven on hold? Or will you answer the call? And so God called Abraham. And sometime when God calls people, he repeats their name. God called Abraham. He said, Abraham. Abraham, is that all right? When God called Moses by the burning bush, God said, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. When God called Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Sometime when God calls you, he has to call your name two times. So in the case of Abraham, he called his name two times. And Abraham answered. Abraham said, in essence, I'm present. Abraham said, in essence, behold, I am here. And God said, Abraham, I'm calling you because I'm going to place a demand on you. I'm calling you because I'm going to place a command on you. Now, in one sense, we must admit that this call, the nature of the call was, it was a terrible call. Because this call did not bring ecstasy and spiritual joy to Abraham, but it brought anguish and distress. Because God was calling in an unusual way. God was saying that I'm calling because I've got to test you. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Is that all right? But not only does God look on the heart, God tests or tries people's heart. Get from me 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 17, Brother Hillary, and read it. God, now understand this. The text says that God did tempt Abraham. Now, of course, we have to understand what that means. It doesn't mean that God was provoking Abraham to do evil. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But God does try and test our hearts. You have that, brother? What does it say? I know also, my God,
that thou triest the heart.
That God tries the heart. See, God is going to test all of us. Amen. Maybe what you're going through right now is your test. Yes. Is that all right? And God is seeing how you're going to handle your tests. Is that all right? Read it, Brother Hillary. What does it say?
And has pleasure in uprightness.
And you have pleasure in uprightness.
As for me. In the uprightness of my heart. I have willingly offered
all these things. Now, of course, God has called Abraham. And he has placed a great test upon his life. But you have to understand, even the language concerning the son, God says, give me your son. Give me your only son. Give me the son that you love. Sometime God comes and asks for some that's near and dear to you. Is that all right? You know, we don't have no problem giving away clothes we don't wear. Hello, lights. We have no problem giving away shoes we don't wear. Hello, lights. But we do have a problem giving away my best suit. Oh, I wish I had some help here. But how could God say to Abraham, give me your only son, when in Genesis chapter 21, Abraham had sent away his son Ishmael. Ishmael was born to Abraham because he was the son of a slave woman who belonged to his wife Sarah. You know, God had made a promise to Abraham that you're going to have a son. And Abraham said, Lord, it's getting late because the reproductive powers of my body are about gone. My wife is well past her childbearing years. So, you know, sometime when God makes a promise, let me say he doesn't need any help. Is that all right? He's God all by himself. So what brought about the birth of Ishmael was that they saw it was getting late. God had made a promise. So Sarah told Abraham to go in and know Hagar. And Hagar conceived, and a son was born to Hagar named Ishmael. Ishmael is considered the father of the Arabs. Is that all right? But then God said, your only son, Because when he talked about the son, Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was born by a miracle. The only way Isaac could be born, God had to intervene. Because Abraham was too old and Sarah hadn't had a baby when she was young. Now she was old. But God says, still, you're going to have a baby in your old age. Abraham was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. But he moved on. And you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, the thing God promised take a long time to get them. You see, that's why you got to have patience when you serve God. You see, we want it right now, R-A-T. Is that all right? But you have to have patience when you serve God, because maybe you don't get it right now. I know you want it right now. And scholars tell us that from the time God made the promise to the actual fulfillment of it was 25 years. And you know how crazy grand folks are about their grandchildren. Amen. We just act a fool over them grandbabies. Yes. Right. You better come on. My grandbaby slaps me, take off my glasses, pull my hair, and I love it all. Uh-huh. Is that all right? But if one of my other children had done it, I'd have had a problem. But the grandbaby can just get away with everything. Is that all right? Because she knows she got me messed up. Abraham now is, he didn't get the child in the morning of life, didn't get the child midday, didn't get the child until the evening of life. Now God has given him this child. He loves this child. Sarah is happy. And now God comes back to him and says to him, Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take that son, your only son, your son of promise, and I want you, Abraham, to offer that son to me as a burnt offering on a mountain that I'm going to show you. So here's the thing. Will Abraham give God what he requires, or will he hold him back? Here's the thing for us. Will we give God what he requires, or will we hold back? Is that all right? And so, here is a test like Abraham has never had. And sometime in life, you go through stuff and you try to figure out why you're going through it. Amen. Sometimes things go from bad to worse. Sometimes you so poor you can't even raise an umbrella. Is that all right? It just seems like, as the old folks say, you can't kill nothing and won't nothing die. Is that all right? And you just having a hard time. You wonder why you're going through it. God saying, I gotta test you. I gotta try your heart. So here's the second point. Now I know, because you didn't hold back your only son, the son you love. Now let me say this, very important concept. We have to lay the groundwork to be obedient. Now nothing is more important in life than obeying God. Amen. Nothing is more important in your life than to obey God. But in order to obey God, we have to lay the groundwork. And let me tell you why I say that. Because, and let's just be real here. Sometimes we struggle in obeying God. Hello, lights. And so what we have to do, we have to lay the groundwork, because there are internal obstacles that prevent me from obeying God. There's some stuff inside of me that stopped me from being obedient. And then there are external things that prevent me from giving God what he requests. So I want you to see something. After God tells him to give me that son as a burnt offering, the son you love, your only son, this miracle baby, give him to me. And you notice, Brother Hillary, run back to Genesis 22. Watch this. And I say you gotta lay the groundwork. Hello? You gotta have a strategy and a plan. You have it, Doc? What did verse 3 say?
And Abraham rose up early in the
morning. Now watch, mark it right there. After God gives him the command, Abraham gets up when? When? In the what? So in order to be on time for church, you got to get up early in the morning. Sometime if you know you got to go to work, you get up early in the morning. Is that all right? Because you know you got to be there at a certain time. And you know if you keep sleeping, come on, y'all, you ain't gonna make it. See, the problem is a lot of us want to be obedient, but we don't lay the groundwork. Look, we know service start at 9 and 10, but hit that snooze button. And I got to admit it. You see, I sleep with this. I wake up and I look at it. It says 6:30. I said, well, I sleep 45 more minutes. And man, you close your eyes. And 45 minutes just zoop by. And you look at your clock again. And man, this hour done went back. I said, boy, you better get up from here. And see what happens when sleep comes in. There's a thing in the body called melatonin. It's a hormone. And that's what makes you sleepy. And God in his infinite wisdom has so designed the body that when you become sleepy, your body begins to secrete a hormone called melatonin and you get sleepy. And that's why in the morning when you wake up and you're having such a hard time waking up because that melatonin is in your bloodstream. But watch what happens. Well, then God in his wisdom begins to secrete another hormone called epinephrine. And that comes to your blood and then you begin to wake up. And you're not feeling as sleepy as you was before. But you got to get up to let the epinephrine do what it's designed to do. Is that all right? So you got to get up early. If you want to be on time, you got to get up early. And you can't sleep in. Here's the second thing. Read, Brother Hillary.
And saddled his ass.
He saddled the ass.
And took two of his young men.
Took two of his young men.
And Isaac his son.
And Isaac said, now, of course, he couldn't be obedient if he didn't take Isaac. He had to take Isaac because Isaac was going to be the sacrifice. So in order for me to get ready, I got to try to figure out what I'm going to wear. Come on, y'all. On Sunday morning, I got to figure out what shirt I'm going to wear. I got to figure out what tie I'm going to wear. Is that all right? You got to figure out what dress you're going to wear. You can't get up on Sunday morning and try to figure it out. You got to figure that out before Sunday morning. You got to lay the groundwork. Oh, help me here, Holy Ghost. Help me here, Jesus. Is that all right? You got to lay the groundwork. Then what happens then?
And clave the wood for the burnt offering.
All right, he got. So I'm coming to church. I need to get my Bible. I need to get my offering. All I need to get a right state of mind. I'm laying the groundwork. Y'all hear me? Watch this. All right. He did what, Brother Hill? He got the wood.
And rose up.
He rose up.
And went into the place of which God.
And then he took off. And then at some point, you got to get in your car. Start it up. Amen. And you know these new cars, you don't have to pat it no more because you got fuel injection. You just turn it on. And it starts up. Is that all right? Well, I remember back in the day when I had that old car, I pump it. Trying to get that gas up into the carburetor. That baby is spurting and popping. Is that all right? But now I got a new car. Don't have to worry about it. Is that all right? And then you got to get in your car. And turn the radio on. You got to do that too. Is that all right? And then you got to start out to the house of God where you can worship him. And anything that might get in your way from getting there, you got to deal with it. So Abraham is making preparation. Is that all right? He starts on his journey. You got to get in your car. Amen. You got to put some gas in there Saturday night. You can't wait till Sunday morning to put your gas in there. Is that all right? You know sometime if it's cold and you got to get in your car, some of us get out there and warm it up, making preparation. Is that all right? To be on time. If the roads are icy and perilous, you got to start earlier where you can take your time. And still be on time. Is that all right? And a lot of people don't make it because they don't lay the groundwork to be obedient. But let's go further. What you got, Doc?
Then on the third day.
On the third day.
Abraham lifted up his eyes.
He lifted up his eyes.
And saw the place afar off.
And he saw the place. Now can't you see the anguish on his face? Can't you feel the distress in his heart? Can't you even see the tears rolling down his face? Abraham, I'm going to test you like you've never been tested. You may have to go through some this year, and you may feel like, I don't see how I'm going to go through this. But let me tell you, if God can take you to it, God can take you through it. Is that all right? What happens, Brother Hillary? Read.
And Abraham said unto his young men.
Said unto the young men.
Abide ye here with
you. You stay here.
And I and the lad will
and
go
I'm, down. And me and the lad are going to worship. And we're going to worship. You know, sometimes some people feel like they can only worship God when things are going well. But sometimes you got to worship God when things ain't going well. You got to worship God when things are falling apart. You got to worship God when you don't feel like it. You can't just be a farewell but Christian. You got to worship God when things don't look so bright. Say, Lord, I'm here. One day there was a faithful woman. She was a Christian. And Lord, she had been sick all week. And Lord, she struggled. She struggled to get to the house of the Lord. Sat down on a seat. They began to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. And she began to sing it. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like she dozed off. It looked like she was taking a nap. And somebody came to and touched her and found out she had passed away. But thank God, what a legacy. Sick, Wouldn't it be wonderful to just pass out in the house of the Lord? Is that all right? I don't want to die in a place I ain't got no business being. Hello, y'all. But one thing about it, you can't be found in a place you never went. Oh, I wish I had some help here. See, if you don't go there, they can't catch you there. Hello, lights. And so Abraham and Isaac are moving to the place. Come here, Xavier. You're going to be my Isaac this morning. Come here, Z. Come on, cooperate with me, Z. Z, so what in the world going on here? Z, you in a motion picture this morning. Come on, man. How you doing this morning? You all right? You okay? You nervous? He said, yeah, it's going to be all right, Z. Z, I'm Abraham, you Isaac. And so, Z, we got to go to the altar, Z. Now you got to cooperate, huh? Now you can't be fighting. It's gonna be now. This just play acting, all right? Okay, all right. So we got the wood. Now Z, I want you to say, Father, I see the wood, but where's the burnt offering?
And where's the burnt offering?
All right, Z, man, that's good. Isaac. That's your name, Z. Isaac? No, you just say, yeah. Yes, sir. Okay. Z, the Lord is going to provide a lamb. You got it? So come on, Z. Come on, Z. So the text says that the Lord, that Abraham bound Isaac. Put your hands right there, Z. Right here, Z, right here, right there, Z. Come on, man. Man, you doing good, you know that? So he brings Isaac, his son, his only son, the son he loved. Now, Z, I got to put you on the altar now. Now, is that all right? I'm going to put you on the altar, Z. Come on, Z. Z, lay down right there, Z. Yeah, lay down. He said, lay down? Yeah, right there, Z. Yeah, right there, Z. Right there, Z. How you feel, Z? You Isaac, Z. Z said, I don't know how I feel. And now, Abraham, with all of the forces within him, all of the power within him, in his mind, he has to give him up because God said, offer him. So he comes, see, he draws back the knife, see. Z getting tense over here. And then God called again, Abraham, don't harm him. You can get up now, Z. How you feeling, Z? Okay? You feel all right? You don't know? Come on. I'm going to walk you back to your mother, Z. Man, you've been good. You know that? You know you got a place in Hollywood. Denzel ain't got nothing on you. Come on, Z. Y'all give Z a hand. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you'll go to Hebrews 11, Brother Hillary, 17 through 19. I want you to get inside of Abraham's mindset. Look inside of Abraham's mindset. Let's look inside of his mind. What was he thinking when he marshaled all of his internal sources and resources? What did he say, Brother Hillary? Read it.
By faith,
Abraham,
when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten.
Offered up, in other words, in his mind, he gave Isaac up. Are you listening? Read.
Of whom it was said. That in Isaac.
In Isaac
shall thy seed
be called.
Accounting that God was able.
And Abraham said, even though I don't know what's going on here, Brother West, even though I can't figure it out, in a real sense, I got Isaac from the dead anyway. Because my body was dead. Sarah's body was dead. And yet God, through a miracle, allowed that child to be born. And the same God who allowed that child to be born, even though he's dead, that God can raise him up from the dead. Now I know, Abraham. Now I know that you fear God. Because you did not withhold your only son. I want to ask you this morning as we move to a conclusion. What are we holding back? To fear God means three important things. Number one, it means to fear God means to reverence God as the creator and the sustainer of the world. Amen. So it's important to understand we reverence God as the creator and the sustainer of the world. Secondly, to fear God means to trust in God with all of your heart. Amen. And number three, to fear God means to obey him without question. Yes. Some people want to argue and fuss with God. Some people want to say, why do I have to do it? But when I fear God, even though I don't understand it, I go on and obey him. Is that all right? Because I must fear God. What are we holding back? What are we holding back? You remember the story. One day when the Pharisees came to Jesus, they said to him, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? And Jesus said, show me the money. He took the money, looked at the image and the superscription on the money. And he said to them, whose image is on it? And they said, Caesar. And Jesus said, render unto Caesar the thing that are Caesar, and render unto God the thing that are God. Is that all right? There are some things we need to give God. And I want to raise a question this morning. Are we holding back our love for God? Because God tell me to love him with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength. Is that all right? God said, thou shalt not have no other God before me. Am I loving my God the way I should love him? And then there's a second thing we might be holding back from God. We might be holding back glory from God. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Am I living in such a way to glorify him? Am I living in such a way to magnify him? Is that all right? Or am I just living for me? I shouldn't just live for me. I should live for him. Is that all right? I should live to glorify God. Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And then number three, am I holding back my worship? Because when you worship God, you will serve him. The devil took Christ up to a high mountain, showed him a panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the world, and said, if you will fall down and worship me, I will give them to you. And Christ said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So I raise the question, how often should we worship God? Are we holding back? Should I worship God once a month? Hello? Should I worship God twice a month? Should I worship God once every quarter? Or should I worship God every first day of the week? Acts 20 and 7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Is that all right? 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. On the first day of the week, lay by him in store and give as the Lord has prospered you. I raise the question, What are we holding back? What am I holding back? What does God know about me? Would I serve him in the good times? I'll serve him in the bad times. I'll serve him when I'm up. I'll serve him when I'm down. Is that all right? Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. Oh, I feel like I'm leveled to the ground. Is that all right? But I'm going to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Let me tell you this and I'll be through. And the final point is the Lord will provide. Is that all right? You know, there was Abraham on the mountain. And he had Isaac on the altar. And God stopped him. But isn't it interesting that when God stopped Isaac, there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And what I see in that, some blessings, some benefits will run away and fly away. But sometime God holds your blessings in the thicket so you can get them. Is that all right? Yeah, God held the lamb in the thicket. God holds my blessings in the thicket where they can't run off, where I can get them. Hold my blessing, Lord. Hold it in place, Lord. So I can get it. And so Abraham took the ram, offered that ram in the place of Isaac. But it's interesting that God spared Abraham's son, but he did not spare his son. Is that all right? But he gave him up freely for us all. Is that all right? And I'm so glad about that. Is that all right? I tell you, the Lord will provide. I tell you, the Lord will fight your battles. The Lord will intervene for you. Is that all right? Sometime you're going through something, you can't handle it. You need God to handle it. Is that all right? Well, what has he provided? What has he provided? Well, you remember Isaac said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the lamb? And I'm glad to say this morning that John the Baptist, down by the Jordan River, saw the lamb coming. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is that all right? He looked beyond my faults. Saw my knees. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked. I said he looked. I said he looked beyond my faults and he saw my knees. Is that all right? I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my fallen soul. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. But not only that, God has provided the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible is the greatest book in the world. Is that all right? It is infallible. It is invincible. Never has a book spoken with such clarity and authority. Is that all right? This book is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is that all right? But not only has he provided the Bible, he's provided a blood-bought, hell-proof, heaven-bound church. Is that all right? The church of Christ is a blood-bought church. Is that all right? And I'm so glad I'm a member of the church I can read about in the Bible. God only has one church, and he has provided that one church. And one day Christ is going to come back and present that church to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And then in conclusion, he has provided the Holy Spirit. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Is that all right? Because he gives, according to Acts 5:32, he gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Is that all right? And so since we have the Holy Spirit, which is a part of our down payment on our salvation, it is the earnest of God. Amen. God has already given me a down payment on my salvation. That's the Holy Spirit. And God tells me don't grieve the Spirit. God tells me don't quench the Spirit. But the proof of the Holy Spirit in me, I produce in my life the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, temperance. All of these things are the manifestation and the demonstration that I have within me the Holy Spirit. Is that all right? So the Lord, I said the Lord will, he will provide. Is that all right? Well, one day as I close and go to my seat, the God of heaven made a call to Abraham. He said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, behold, I am here. Is that all right? He said, take your son, Abraham, your only son, the son you love. Take him to a mountain that I'm going to show you. And I want you to offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Is that all right? Oh, what a test for poor Abraham. Is that all right? Oh, what a challenge for Abraham. Is that all right? But Abraham got up early in the morning and started moving toward that place. Is that all right? I tell you, sometime when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Is that all right? You may be up, you may be down. But when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Is that all right? You may be in a certain place, but when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. Is that all right? So Abraham went to the place, drew back the knife, got ready to strike the fateful blow. And God said, don't you hurt him, because now I know that you fear God. Is that all right? Yes, Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. Is that all right? Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but he that is in every nation that feareth God and worketh righteousness shall be accepted unto him. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, God, he will provide. God will. I said he will provide. Is that all right? Why, you know, Moss? Because he's able. Yes, he's able. Is that all right? God can make a way out of no way. Is that all right? God can turn a barren desert into a blooming garden of flowers. God can turn glory or gloom into glory. Is that all right? God can turn a setback into a comeback. Is that all right? God can turn a burden into a blessing. God can turn pain into power. Is that all right? God can turn sadness into gladness. Is that all right? Why? Because he'll provide. He'll provide. He'll give you a job. He'll get you off your sick bed. He'll get you out of debt. Is that all right? He'll turn your depression into happiness. Because the Lord, I said the Lord, I said the Lord will provide. Would you stand on your feet, please? That's the message. What are you holding back from the Lord? Lord, help me this morning to not hold back. But oh God, help me to give you what you're asking for. Oh Lord, help me to be real this morning and give you what you're asking for. Is that all right? But Brother Moss, I want to know how I can have the Lord in my life. You can know by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe in it. Amen. John 3:16. repenting of your sins, Acts 17:30. Confessing Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And being immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Amen. And then the Lord, who will provide, will add you to his blood-bought church. He only has one church. A lot of churches in the world, but he only has one. And it's a blood-bought church. Amen. That's where his spirit dwells. That's where his people are. Well, Brother Moss, what if I'm a child of God and I've strayed away, I've erred away? I got some good news for you. That all you got to do is repent, confess, and pray, and the Lord will receive you back into his place. Oh, ain't God good? And I can say this morning, he's already provided for me. If you got a place to stay, where you think it came from? If you got a car to drive, where you think it came from? If you got shoes on your feet, where you think they came from? You got clothes on your back. Where you think they came from? If you got joy in your heart, where you think it came from? Is that all right? If you got a song on your lips, where you think it came from? Is that all right? The Lord will. He's already proven he'll provide. Oh, I trust him. I love him. And yes, I want to worship him. Amen. And because of him, I can say I still have joy. Oh, Lord, I still have joy. Yeah, after all. Oh. Oh, Lord, I still have joy. Oh, Lord, I still have joy. After all. Oh.